This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Happy New Year, everybody. On this segment, we're going to be doing our regular landlord-tenant laws, disputes, and issues, which we try to do at least every other month, maybe sometimes as often as every 6 weeks. My guests are landlord-tenant attorneys Jessica Chilek, who has an office in San Francisco, and Salvatore Timpano, who also has an office in San Francisco. We're going to be talking about some of the major issues that perhaps you as a tenant may have, maybe you as a landlord may have. We're also doing, if you're listening to the program live, and today is, or this evening, is January 6th. It is 7 p.m. Pacific time. We're also doing Call a Lawyer, and our Call a Lawyer in the conference room is Nathaniel Bigger. That number, if you'd like to talk with him off the air, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. And if you'd like to talk with my guests on the air, our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can call when you like. We're ready for you at any time for that. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program is provided by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Well, Jessica and Sal, welcome back to the program. Now, if your cell phone is on and it rings and you've won the lottery, you have to make a major, major contribution to this public radio station. I understand from talking to you before we went on the air is that at this point, we've just finished the holiday season. Bills are coming in. People have overused their credit cards. Tenants are not paying their rent. What's the story? Sal, what's going on here?
That's right, Chuck. It seems like towards the end of last year, there's been a spike in inability to pay rents. And these aren't the top-of-the-market rents either. Some of them are just, a few thousand dollars, $1,500. Not that that's not a large amount of money, but as far as rents in San Francisco go, it's not large at all. And the tenants are just having a hard time keeping up with their rent payments.
What do you tell them? I mean, if they haven't paid the rent, they're subject to a 3-day notice under California law.
That's right. And if they don't pay the rent within that 3-day period, they're then subject to a lawsuit for unlawful detainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got to defend that lawsuit. And a lot of times tenants will have defenses that they don't know about. They usually consult an attorney and they find out what those defenses are. But when I'm representing a tenant, they tell me the story, and the story that I get is whether or not I have defenses, I don't have the money to pay the rent.
And I don't have the money to pay a lawyer.
And sometimes they can get, legal services somewhere.
Okay, from Legal Aid or,
yes,
or some,
yeah,
some organization, nonprofit organization.
They'll qualify for that type.
Why would and tell me this if you would, why would a landlord if a tenant owes $2,000, but there may be a rental agreement, of course, with for example, monthly rent of $2,000. But if the landlord is owed $2,000 and the landlord has given the tenant a 3-day notice to quit, why wouldn't, to save money, both from the landlord's standpoint and especially the tenant's standpoint, why wouldn't Jessica, the landlord, file a small claims action under California law, because the jurisdiction up in a small claims court goes up to $10,000?
Well, the difference between a small claims action and an unlawful detainer action for rent is that in a small claims action, whether the landlord wins or loses the suit, the tenant gets to stay in possession, because possession is not an issue in a small claims case.
Gotcha.
It is an issue in an unlawful detainer case.
Okay.
And therefore, if the tenant can't pay the rent going forward, the landlord would get possession under unlawful detainer.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you find today with perhaps people being confronted with significant medical bills that this is creating, at least in the San Francisco area, and another problem, not just the expenses for the holiday season of buying mm-hmm. gifts for mm-hmm. people, but medical bills that may be expensive, the amount, your contribution, you as the patient, you have to pay even though you have insurance a certain amount. Are you finding that that is a problem for mm-hmm. some people in being able to pay yes. their rent?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Really?
We agree on that one for sure. That's one of them. Even with the additional Obamacare type health provisions and things like that, folks don't always get all of the coverage in their health insurance that they may want or need, or even the copayments can be expensive for specialists or if you have rare medications that you need or, you know, something that doesn't have a generic equivalent. You know, those expenses can still be high. And I've had some folks come in and say that, you know, again, you know, I may have some defenses to the rent, but the fact of the matter is I've got these medical bills. You know, and they're sending collection people after me, and I can't pay the rent going forward.
Yeah, and some of these, you know, some of these clients, they tell me I should probably move. They tell me they don't want to, but they tell me that they should probably move. So they, you know, take my advice to get out of the place as easy as possible. The landlords are usually pretty accommodating.
Are they in that respect?
Well, because they're going to be able to raise the rent.
Sure.
So they're, you know, if a tenant is, you know, comes to the conclusion that they have to leave, they'll and they want, you know, they want to leave, you know, they'll do it. And the landlords, I find, they're pretty accommodating in that regard.
San Francisco has a rent control ordinance.
Yes.
Yes.
How is it then? And I presume that a good percentage of the people who are your clients are living in rent-controlled units. Is that true?
Yes.
That's very
well, if that's the case, and supposedly rent control is to keep the rents down, what's happening here? Are the rents progressively getting higher because the landlords are able to increase them by a certain minimal percentage per year?
They are, but it's a small amount.
I see.
It's a minimal amount. Sometimes it's 1%. Jessica? 1.2 sometimes, 1.9
well, it's
maybe.
1.9 this year.
Was one of the – 1.9 this year.
That's for the whole year. Okay.
Right. So on the anniversary date, the landlord can raise the rent 1.9%. It's not really – I don't think that's making it unaffordable for folks. I think the cost of living around the rent is going up, including the medical, you know, for people that have medical issues.
Yes, and PG&E just issued a statement that they're going to be raising rates again this year too. So,
I saw that as well. Yeah, so
you know, that's as you're saying, it affects the cost of living things that go around the rent. They even if they're in a rent have been in a rent controlled apartment for a long time, 10 or more years, and you know have had minimal increases over that period of time. The other expenses can, you know, people have to try to, you know, shift from one hand to another to try to cover what they can. And also, you know, if you have a shorter term tenancy, if it's less than 10 years, the starting rent might have been high. You know, if it's, a $3,000 rent that's 5 years old, you know, the increases on that are still significant.
Sure. Yeah, they'd be a bit more so.
Is there an average using San Francisco as the example, although your legal rights is made available throughout California. It's on the internet, www.klw.org, live throughout the country, and now on the NPR satellite. But in that San Francisco is an expensive place to live, what is there an average rental per month cost that you might tell us about?
Jessica, I think for a new rental right now, one-bedroom apartments, they go $3,500 to $5,000 in certain parts
for
of the city.
For one bedroom?
For one bedroom. Do you find this
in
to be
the case?
In some parts
of the city, sure. Yeah. In some parts of the city. If you're talking a less desirable area, for example, the Tenderloin or Bayview or something like that, it's still for the people who are going to be living in the area, very expensive. But you can find them for $2,000 and $3,000, probably.
Yeah, $2,000 and $3,000. I mean, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot,
you know,
of money.
For any.
Are
place.
You saying that these are places that are also covered by rent control?
Yes, most of the places in San Francisco are covered by rent control. Anything built prior to 1979, I think it's June.
June of 1979.
Yeah, is going to be under rent control, and that's most of the buildings, most of the structures in San Francisco.
My notes on this is that before June 13th, 1979.
That's right. That's the date.
I wonder if that 13th was on a Friday.
That's the date.
All right, everybody. I want to remind you again that we've got Nathaniel Bigger, who is our landlord-tenant fellow. Attorney for Call a Lawyer. He's in the conference room here at the station. That number, if you'd like to talk with him, is toll-free, 1-800-525-9917. And I want to invite you, if you'd like to talk with my guests on the air, and they are Sal Timpano and Jessica Charlick. They're very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys in San Francisco, of course, both very knowledgeable about rent control law, but as well as, of course, state law, California state law. So if you'd like to talk with them, with your questions, comments, whatever it is, on the air, our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We are doing this program live on Wednesday, January 6th. So if you hear it delayed, don't call. But call now if you like, because we'd like to hear from you. I'm wondering, is there a problem, and I can see that some tenants, if they have a provision in their lease with a landlord that permits them to have subtenants, is there a problem with subtenants today in San Francisco in terms of, let's say, the master tenant leaves and the subtenant is there. Are there some problems there that people should be aware of?
As we were discussing, Jessica, earlier, most leases require the landlord's permission before you sublet. So if there's a written lease, it's probably going to have a provision that says you can't sublet, or that if you do, you have to do so with the landlord's permission and consent.
Mm-hmm. And the landlord is allowed to have the subtenant's contact information, and the subtenant has to fill out any necessary paperwork like credit checks and things like that.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Oh,
but
sure.
They still don't have a direct relationship with that landlord. Mm-hmm. The subtenant relationship is with the master tenant, who at that moment becomes a landlord.
Right.
And sometimes
with all the rights and obligations of
right.
a landlord. They stand in the shoes of the landlord as their subtenant. So.
Yep. And a lot of times they don't know how to be a landlord, and they get themselves in problems with their subtenants.
Like what? Give us an example of a problem.
One problem that I dealt with recently was a master tenant who locked out their subtenant. And
because the subtenant wasn't paying the rent to the master tenant?
Because the subtenant wasn't allowed by the landlord.
Oh,
so,
really?
As a result.
Ah, I gotcha.
Yeah, as a result, the master tenant received an eviction notice and thought that they could change the locks.
The master tenant thought that he or she could change the locks?
Right.
So the subtenant couldn't get in?
Right.
And did change the locks, is that right?
And did change the locks.
And what happened?
And the subtenant called the police. The police said it's not a matter for us to get involved in. And I believe at that point the subtenant could have probably shown identification to get in. Into the
really?
Room, but either did not have identification or chose not to pursue. But that's not proper conduct. A landlord is not allowed to change the locks on a tenant.
Not without a court order.
Not without a court order. So these are things that most landlords would know this.
And we're talking about state law right
we're
now.
We're talking about...
Not just rent control
correct.
Law.
Yeah, no, we're talking
California
about...
California Civil Code.
Yeah. Just the California state law, you can't lock out a tenant without due process, which is, you know,
that's pretty important, folks. Due process. And put, landlords, put those locks away right now unless you get a court order. Let's hear right now from Robert. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks. Up in Marin, you've got a situation where even if you have a lease, even if your lease still has 6 months on it, you can still get a 60-day notice from somebody. And when you go to defend for it, against it, you show up at the Marin County Frank Lloyd Wrong building there and stand in line. And when you get up there and hand in your well-written, typed answer to the complaint, the guy says something like, "That'll be $225," and he pulled out $2.25, and he says,
"No,
$200, $225."
Right, of course,
unbelievable.
Robert,
so
let me ask you this:
even though the landlord has gone and gotten a lawyer and claimed that you break your lease for some technicality that they don't have to even tell you what it is at that point. So when you get to court, 9 o'clock in the morning, people are sitting there, they're all being evicted. The judge walks in, who doesn't really want to be in eviction court because he's a superior court judge, and he says, "Your lawyers are here." Well, everybody starts looking around. He says, "Yeah, we have public defenders. You get 5 minutes with a public defender. You will settle. You will settle now, or 1 week from now, you will be evicted."
Wow.
That's what he said, quote unquote.
Robert, let me ask you a question, because you said something that I'm surprised about. You said even if you had 6 months left on your lease, you can get a 60-day notice. Is that because you, as the tenant, have done something wrong, or are you saying that under the provision of a lease that you're aware of, the landlord has the right, without any good cause, to give you 60 days notice? Could you explain that?
Neither of those things are what happened. What happened was the landlord came to me and said, here's another rental just the same as mine, and it's four times more, and I want four times more money. And I said, okay, well, I'll move by March when the lease is up. And then after that, she said she had a new tenant coming in to the main house. I was in the back. And the new tenant took issue with the fact that she said she'd never lived in a house that somebody else could see in. Well, I was 140 feet away, and certainly she's not hot enough to look at anyway. But she called the police.
Too bad.
Cut off water and power.
Ooh.
Yeah. The cops showed up when I turned on a generator. On and on. And anyway, they started vandalizing my car. So... basically, I had to settle, so I got two more months and $500 payment, and had to move, and had to move one of my stored vehicles out onto the street, which was immediately confiscated by the sheriff. So this has cost me about $5,000 and pretty much put me on the street.
Robert, one further thing, because this is quite a story that you've told us, and that is... Even though you had a written lease and had 6 months left on the lease, you're saying that the landlord had the guts, and it sounds like illegal guts, to really put you out on the street because the landlord had wanted more money.
Exactly.
Were you able to hire an attorney, or was that just out of the question for you, economically speaking?
Well, it wasn't out of the question, but the fact of the matter is that a lawyer sitting right there that was pretty much working for the other side just because he was a PD, and he kept telling me, I said, well, you know, if she pays me $1,000 a month for the next 6 months, that would be okay. I could leave right now. And he said, oh, she'll never do that, without even going and making the offer. I said, go make the offer at least. Mm-hmm. I'd have forced the guy to go and talk to him. He comes back shaking his head, oh, no, they won't take that. I wasn't allowed to even be there when he was talking to the other side.
Was it a public defender? Do you know? PD? By PD, you mean public defender?
Yeah.
I mean, in my experience, public defenders don't They don't even deal with criminal law, not civil.
Well,
I don't know. They're right across the street from the county building there, and there's an office there, and it's, I don't know, a tenant advocacy group or something.
Okay, that's a little different.
Yeah.
We want to talk, Robert. Thanks for calling us and telling us about this. I think you had a steamroller rolled over you on this. If you'll turn your radio back up, I want to have my guest talk a little bit about this. If under California law, and Marin County, I don't believe, has rent control, for one thing. And that's irrelevant.
Some counties may have it in Marin County. There may be some. I don't know if his was a rent control jurisdiction. But even if it wasn't, this is just plain old state law.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we have a lease that Robert had with the landlord for so much per month, and yet the landlord realized from the front house that he's making all of this money with this new tenant from the front house, and figures, hey, if I can do this with the front house, why can't I do it with the back house? But yet, that was a violation of the contract.
Yes.
Do you have any comments about this, Jessica?
Potentially. Okay. In most of California, a landlord can evict for any reason or no reason, as long as it's not a prohibited reason, like retaliation, discrimination, or harassment.
Yeah.
But if you've got a written lease, oftentimes there's a provision that says if there's some violation or because you're paying monthly instead of paying annually, there's some provision in there that allows a 30-day notice from the landlord during the lease period. Now, that may be part of what happened here.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
But also potentially, well – yeah, I think the big thing here is the fact that you're paying monthly on an annual lease, okay? Because the state law allows the landlord who is being paid periodically, you know, to give a notice based on that period.
So if you're paying
on a monthly lease, you can give a 30-day notice or a 60-day notice or something like that, even during the lease period.
But you would have to have in the lease agreement, the written lease agreement, a provision that says that, wouldn't you?
Generally, I've never seen the provision that you're speaking of, Jessica.
I have never seen this either, but I'm not a landlord-tenant attorney.
But that one I haven't seen. But if there was some provision like that in his lease, I would have loved to see what it looks like.
I'd like to see that someday, Robert. If you will send it to KALW, if you'll make it. No, I'm serious. If you'll make a copy of that and send it to KALW, to my attention, Chuck Finney, I'd like to see that, because this is something that I feel is frankly, inherently unfair. Mm-hmm. On the other hand,
it sounds like it.
Yeah. On the other hand, if there is a written provision in there, in that lease, written lease, that says the landlord has the right to increase the rent and by so much within a certain period of time, by giving you, the tenant, a 60-day notice, then that is something I would like to see. And that could be a provision in a lease. But tenants have to be careful. If that is a situation, you want to understand and see what kind of contingencies are there. Because that one, with what Robert has told us, was a real tough situation. Let me give you our number again. Nathaniel Bigger is in the conference room here. We're doing this program live on January 6th. Nathaniel Bigger is a landlord-tenant law of considerable experience. If you'd like to talk with him off the air, no obligation, by the way, everybody. It's toll-free, 1-800-525-9917. I want to invite you to call in and speak with my guests on the air. And they are Sal Timpano and Jessica Chilek. That toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. As we go into this new year, 2016, I don't want you to be sitting on your hands, everybody, tenants and landlords. This is your opportunity to chime in with questions or problems that you may have. What happens if, for example, and this is what you were talking about before, if you are we were talking about before. If you are laid off from your job, which economically speaking there have not been that good situation for quite some time, although it appears things are improving. If you're laid off from your job, that is not a good excuse for not paying your rent, is it?
It's absolutely not a good excuse for paying your rent. I know it sounds terrible. You're in a tough situation. You've lost your employment. But rent is due every month or however often you're supposed to pay it under your rental agreement. And it's an obligation that you have to meet. It has to be one of your priorities. You can usually manage something else as long as you've got a roof over your head. But there are some rental agencies that will help get you through a tough period, either with a one-time subsidy or sometimes they'll give you loans. Mm-hmm.
Are these in San Francisco, Jessica?
A lot of them are in San Francisco, but some of them are, you can find statewide.
Okay.
I mean, they're usually local to the particular area, but they are state. Various areas in the state have them.
All right, everybody. We've come to the end of the statewide version of the program. We continue live, of course, in the Bay Area, 91.7 FM. We're live on the Internet nationally at www.kalw.org. We're also now on the National Public Radio Satellite. So wherever you may be, if you're listening to this program live on Wednesday, January 6th, 2016, I invite you to come in and call us on our toll-free number. Whether you're in California or not, there are some issues that my guests might be able to assist you with or give you some direction if you're a tenant or a landlord in some other state. So the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. This is also our mini call a lawyer night. I had hoped that we would have more than one landlord tenant for call a lawyer off the air, which we normally do, but I think the holiday season has created some difficulties in lining people up. So our hero for call a lawyer is Nathaniel Bigger, who is a landlord tenant attorney in San Francisco. And if you'd like to talk with him off the air about your landlord tenant question, problem, whatever, it's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. For those of you who've tuned in just a little bit late, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We are, by the way, folks, I want to let you know, on the verge of having been doing this program for 32 years. Next month in February of 2016, it will be 32 years, believe it or not.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. We've weathered the storm, I hope. My guests on this segment of Your Legal Rights are very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys in California. Jessica Chylik, who has an office in San Francisco, and Salvatore, I call him Sal because it's easier, Salvatore Timpano, who also has an office in San Francisco. Both of them have been guests on the program over the years and in particular have been very gracious with their time in terms of doing Call a Lawyer when we normally do our Call a Lawyer usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. And much to our surprise last week when we did our regular Call a Lawyer night, I think people were partying too much. We only had a very few calls, and I had seven attorneys in a conference room here. So in any event, everybody, we welcome you. Keep in mind that we normally do Call a Lawyer once a month, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month. We'll be doing a live program. I'm going to, on the fourth Wednesday of this month, I'm going to have the California State Bar President on the program live, and we'll be doing a Call a Lawyer that evening. And you might want to jot down the number 1-800-525-9917 when we will have a number of attorneys in the conference room, and I hope we'll be back to our normal kind of flow of calls coming in. Right now, I want to talk to Billy. Billy, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. What you got?
All right, so let's see. Hey, 32 years. That's amazing. Anyways, I caught the last one when you guys were talking about the landlord-tenant issues, and that was really helpful. So I've pretty much been through the ringer over the last 8 months, I'd say. I'm in my third place now, and it's really cool, and I feel really good about it. But here's the thing, like, I believe it's illegal. I believe technically my lease is illegal. I mean, it just has all sorts of very strange verbiage in there. And so I guess I'm inclined to think and feel that it works out in my benefit when the lease is just riddled with all of these like illegal clauses and whatnot. So I guess I was kind of wondering what your take on that is. And then as well, what is it, since I'm so lucky to even have a place to live in San Francisco, which is kind of how you're made to feel.
How long have you been living in this particular unit, Billy?
I've been in this one for about 3 months now.
Okay. Did you have a feeling when you have a written lease, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you entered into the agreement with the landlord, did you read the lease ahead of time?
Oh, yeah. I considered dropping a few $100 to have a lawyer look over it, but instead I went the route that you mentioned in the show, actually. I had actually just went through it where you pay like $30 for a half hour or something.
Oh, yeah, 35 usually. But in spite of that, you did not have a lawyer look at it, but you felt there were some illegal provisions in the lease at that time?
Yep, and... There were and some things that were just completely unnecessary, other things that were just blatantly omitted. And I figure it works out in my benefit, though. In the case that there is something that arises, some situation that, an unforeseen circumstance, you could, I'm sure, imagine something, but I feel it's not even worth it to go through the trouble. Just kind of don't worry about it. Go with the flow and hope that you have to get lucky. Hope that it works out in your favor somehow.
What, Billy, what are you paying per month for your rent?
Yeah, it's really good, actually. It's
$1,850 per month.
So, okay, yeah, and I guess more than that, so there's six units in total in my little building here in the middle of the Mission, like 16th and Valencia-ish. So
nice.
Good rent for that.
Yeah,
you're getting a good deal there, Billy. My guests are saying.
Yeah, I got it's a
unless you're on the veranda there and you have to go down to the.
I mean, there's a really good chance that whenever I walk out of my house, there's going to be somebody like smoking crack and definitely going to the bathroom.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Ooh,
so there's the drug use and urination thing. That's kind of getting old.
This is not good.
You call the police when you see that happening. Just
absolutely.
Call the police.
Call the police, Billy. Billy, let me suggest this, and then I think my guests will want to respond to some of the thoughts you have presented.
I did have one more I wanted to slip in there quick. So the main thing is subunit. So it's an illegal in-law.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what I want to mention to you is this. In that initially you had thought that you might want to pay some money to have a lawyer look over your lease. At this point, I would highly suggest, because I'm not trying to find work for lawyers or money for lawyers, although I've been a lawyer, believe it or not, for 50 years. I'm a consumer advocate.
Right.
And what I want to suggest to you after this program, and for you to call tomorrow, I suggest you call the lawyer referral service for the San Francisco Bar. Ask to have an appointment with an attorney who does landlord-tenant work, representing primarily tenants. And as you know, for a half an hour, it's going to cost you $35. It's a great way to really try to understand what's going on here and what your rights may be as to whether or not you really feel that this is a problem. I think if this is an illegal unit, you've got to be very careful what you're doing, because you don't want to be kicked out of this thing. In any event, I'm going to get my guests now to respond to this. Let me give you the phone number for the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service if you want to jot it down.
Sure. And then am I covered by rent control? It was built, before.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, we'll talk about that. But I want you to write down. I want you to write down this phone number. By the way, everybody, Billy, stop talking for a moment. Maybe that's why your landlord doesn't want you there anymore. You won't stop talking. Let me give you the phone number. Please write it down. Everybody, when you're listening to this program, and I'm serious, always have a piece of paper and a pen or pencil because you may want to write down a number, whatever it may be. The Lawyer Referral Service, Billy, for the San Francisco Bar is 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. Please write that down. Turn your radio back up. I want to get my guests to respond to some of the things that you've talked about at this point. Thank you very much for calling. Good luck to you. What about this illegal unit thing that he said this is illegal? If he's going to call, for example, the city on this, an illegal unit, he's going to get kicked out.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, if he were to call the city, then the landlord would probably get a notice
from the city,
to bring that unit into compliance,
yes,
which might mean remove it altogether. That's how it might bring the building into compliance, excuse me.
Yeah.
So bringing the building into compliance might require that the unit be removed.
That often happens, actually.
Yeah, there's parts in the city that are being tested for making illegal units legal. Did you know that?
Yes, Jessica? Grandfathering them in, or a new program to sort of legalize illegal units.
Right, to provide more housing. But
yes.
I don't think the Mission District that he's describing is one of those areas at the moment. They're listed somewhere. You can call the rent board and find out which neighborhoods are doing that. I don't think the Mission District is one of them.
Can he get any help by going to the rent board or calling the rent board about an issue like this?
Absolutely can.
Yeah.
Yes.
They'll tell him what the law is, but they don't give legal advice.
They don't represent someone, in other words.
Right.
But they'll tell him what the law is, which is essentially that if you have an illegal unit, technically the landlord shouldn't be renting it out, but if they are and you need a place to live, you know, you pay your rent.
Yeah.
That's fine. If you're going to try to report him to the city for the habitability problems or the illegality, the Department of Building Inspections will issue a 30-day notice to bring it into compliance, as Sal said. And, you know, that often, if it's something that can't be fixed, like sometimes it's the roof, the ceiling's too low and you can't raise a ceiling, you know, if it's below something else, that unit has to be taken off the market entirely.
So what is the landlord's obligation? If that were using that example that you've just given, what is the landlord's obligation if you cannot make the correction? Let's say the ceiling is too low and it's impossible to raise it because there's another level above this. What is the landlord's obligation to, let's say, Billy in a situation like that? Is there any obligation whatsoever if this is an illegal unit?
Well, the landlord would have to take it off the market.
No, I understand.
They would make a relocation payment.
Ah,
they would give a 30-day or 60-day notice, 30-day in this case because he has only been there 3 months, not a year yet.
So what
60
would the
day if it's longer than that.
Mm-hmm. What would the relocation payment be that the landlord may be obligated to
It's set out in the rent ordinance, and it tends to go up every year.
I see.
Probably in the $6,000 range.
Really?
Yeah. And it's intended to be an amount of money to pay for the moving expense and the security deposit and also the probable increase in rent. It's intended for that purpose.
Well, Billy, what you need to do then, in light of what my guests have said, is contact the rent board, get some information from them. And then, as I've suggested to you, because I think it's to your advantage, call the Lawyer Referral Service of the San Francisco Bar and get an appointment with an attorney, a landlord-tenant attorney, who primarily represents tenants, and try to figure out what your rights are, what you may be able to do, because maybe there's something here that will really work out positively for you. Or if not, at least you'll know what the law is and what you can or cannot do.
And do your consulting lawyer a favor and take the lease with you.
Billy, take that lease. Take that, as you say, that illegal lease with you.
Yeah.
Don't just do it by mouth. Okay. All right. Our number on the program, if you'd like to call us, we're doing this live on January 6th. If you want to talk to my guests on the air, it's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. That's toll-free. If you want to talk with our star, call a lawyer, landlord-tenant attorney, Nathaniel Bigger, who's in the conference room down the hall. That's also toll-free, 1-800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. Before we take our next call, let me just mention this, that support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco as well as Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar, you can call 415-989-1616. Now, if you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. Hopefully, you'll be able to get a human being during normal business hours on the phone. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to try to find someone experienced for you and set you up for a half an hour consultation. With minor exception, for a half an hour consultation, the charge will be somewhere between $25 to $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going. So it's very helpful. I hope you don't need it, but it's very helpful to you if you do have a problem. All right. We have as next Donna. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks. Thanks very much for the show. I appreciate it. I was just seeking some advice, please. I'm a master tenant, have been for 18 years at my place. I have a good rapport with the landlord, but I've been thinking that I would like to live with different people. And I was wondering if you could offer me any advice or what my recourse is to find new roommates if I decide that I don't want to continue living with the people that I have been, that are my subtenants.
Are they your subtenants? How many, Donna?
There are two.
There are two of them. How long have they been living with you?
One for like 10 years and one for like 2 years.
Do you have a written agreement with them?
Yeah, when they moved in, the landlord provided some kind of basic form that they signed with me.
So you are
master tenant. Yeah, and I don't think they were even filled out very completely, but I have something like that. I haven't looked at it in a while.
Donna, you are then with a form, it sounds like, that the landlord gave to you to deal with the subtenants. You are, in effect, the subtenant's landlord, are you not?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I collect the rent, I take care of the house.
Okay, all right. Yeah. What I suggest you do, as I've told Billy, is I think you need to call the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar and have a half an hour consultation with someone. It sounds like at this, are you living in a rent controlled area?
Yes.
Okay. And you have, I take it your subtenants right now are actually on a month-to-month tenancy with you. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Just like I am with the landlord.
You're on a month-to-month with the landlord. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me pose a question to my guests, and maybe they can, and you stay on the line if you would, Donna. Maybe they can then respond to what you're saying. But what I want to inform you about is that the State Bar does not give my guests the leeway to give specific legal advice.
They
cannot do that, but they'll give you some direction. And so let's do this. Let me ask you both, my guests, this. If someone is a master tenant and has subtenants, is there, and they're now on a month-to-month basis, are those subtenants covered by the protections of at least the San Francisco rent ordinance?
They absolutely,
they are. Okay, so
unless
unless
at the time of entering into the sublease, with the master tenant. The master tenant gave a written written statement to them that said that the just cause eviction provisions of the rent ordinance don't apply to that subtenancy. So if you have a form from your landlord, you would want to look at that very closely that you signed with your subtenant to see if there's some provision in there that would exclude that subtenancy from the rent ordinance. But in general, the subtenancies are under the rent ordinance. Control and eviction control provisions of the rent ordinance.
Yes. So Donna can't, as we discussed a little earlier, Donna can't just go and, when these people are out at work or whatever, change the locks so they can't get in.
No.
So put away, Donna, put away that lock.
I don't
want
to do that. I just want to live.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking, Donna. But what other comments do you have for her?
I think that if she doesn't want to live, you know, Donna, if you don't want to live with the roommates, maybe they might feel the same way. You know, they might feel, right? I mean, you never know. They may be inclined to move. Maybe they want to live somewhere else as well. I think you really need to look at the lease that you have and then consider either keeping them, you know, as their roommates until they want to leave, or talking to them about their desire to move. But you don't have, from what I'm hearing, any just cause to evict them. So if you need just cause to evict them, just like your landlord would need just cause to evict you, and you don't have it, then the only thing you can do is offer them a buyout.
Offer them
some money, and they're going to need that money to go somewhere else, especially the one that's been there 10 years.
Yeah.
They're really going to need that money to move somewhere else, especially if they want to be in a comparable neighborhood. You know.
Michelle, does that then open her up to the requirements to submit all of that, the notice information and things like that, that a landlord would have to do?
You mean the new buyout rules?
The new buyout rules for landlords to tenants.
Okay. Yeah. We're talking about potentially significant amount of money.
Yeah, she'd probably need an assistance of an attorney to do that, because the new buyout rules are pretty
There's a notice that the landlord or a master tenant has to give to the tenant or subtenant that has to be filed with the rent board before you even discuss a buyout, other than a question of would you be interested in a buyout. If it goes any further than that, you have to file this notice.
Yeah.
And then, this notice gives all sorts of notifications to the tenant or the subtenant about, you know, the fact that they're entitled to have a lawyer can look at whatever the written agreement is, and that it has to be a written agreement, and that it has to have, you know, it's got to have a certain value to it. And there's a lot of things that I wouldn't want you to get in any problems in discussing a buyout with your subtenant without following the rules.
I wouldn't even engage in that discussion because I don't have any money to offer. But it's nice to know that's...
Well, here again, Donna, I suggest, since obviously this is a problem, have you discussed, by the way, with your subtenants, have you discussed with them the fact that you feel very uncomfortable continuing this master-tenant-subtenant relationship? Has this come up?
No, it hasn't.
Okay.
I've been holding my cards until I had more information. So,
you know, you might want to look into mediation.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to consider that. I know that, and I'm not a member of the San Francisco DA's office, but they have had for quite some time a subunit dealing with mediation of issues. And then I'm trying to remember the name of the outfit in San Francisco that's been very significant in...
Oh, is it Community Boards?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think you need to think about that. I think before you do that, if I may suggest it again, is I think that you should try to sit down at least for half an hour with a landlord-tenant attorney, in this instance, someone who represents landlords, because you are, in effect, the landlord here. and find out what your rights may be, and then you also want to do some research with respect to the rent board. Any other comments for her?
No, I agree with you, Chuck. I think she should call the Bar Association and get a half-hour consult.
I think you got to do it, Donna. And you know, that's a very wise investment. It's a small amount of money, but it may be very helpful to you in terms of the result that may come out of it. So good luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much. And that's the 415-989-1616.
That's right. That's right.
I got a pen and paper. Thank you.
Good for you. Hey, you're on the right track, Donna. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, our star in the conference room for Call a Lawyer is Nathaniel Bigger, a San Francisco landlord-tenant attorney. If you want to talk with him off the air, it's 800-525-9917. 800-525-9917. We have a few more minutes on the air. Our toll-free number, and we're doing this program live on January 6th, is 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. Again, my guests are Salvatore Timpano and Jessica Chilek, landlord-tenant attorneys in San Francisco. And we now have, let's see, we have Rich. Rich, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to tell you about unintended consequences of these rental ordinances. I was a landlord for a while, and I ended up losing the house, over it.
Why? Why?
I rented the rooms in the house out individually, so they were all separate tenants, and then suddenly, a couple of those folks started moving their friends into their room with them.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And even though my agreement said it was one person to a room, when I went to see a lawyer, the lawyer said, well, you can only evict people under one of these 14, just cause evictions, and moving people into your unit is not one of those. So I was imagining this nightmare situation where I wouldn't be, that I could be left with a single room with, stuffed full of people and nobody else would want to live there anymore, and I wouldn't be able to cover the mortgage. And so it kind of ended up forcing me to sell the house at a loss. So.
Do you have a question, though?
How would you mitigate something like that? Is there anything that can?
Did you seek the advice, Rich, before you sold the house? Did you seek the advice of a lawyer to see what your rights and obligations might be?
I did, and the lawyer said that I couldn't do anything about it. He said it had to be one of these 14 just cause evictions.
I see. But before you sold the house, I'm wondering, did you seek advice to determine whether or not really you should sell the house? That's what I'm wondering.
Yes, I guess you could say I did. I never heard anything very helpful. So it was, unfortunately, I didn't have a war chest to try to deal with these things.
Let me get some comments from my guests, because when did this occur? How long ago, Rich?
It was year 2000 I sold the house.
Year 2000. What comments do you have for him? Someone who obviously, his kind of situation.
So I think most attorneys would advise against renting rooms in the house, especially if the landlord doesn't live in one of the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Because then tenants may have the ability to bring other folks in.
Yeah.
Now, one of the just cause under the rent ordinance is breach of the lease. So if the landlord has a lease that says you can't sublet or assign, well, then that would be a just cause if sublet or assigning is occurring.
Yes.
Then that would be a just cause under the enumerated causes, and a landlord could evict for that reason. But under the circumstances with multiple tenants, you may need what he referred to as a war chest.
Yeah.
You know, because an eviction is not self-executing. It's expensive. And so maybe he decided to sell in lieu of you know, doing the evictions.
Jessica, you have something, some comment there?
I have to agree with Sal that renting the individual rooms is really not the most effective way for a landlord to handle that. The best way would be most likely to have one person as a master tenant.
Uh-huh.
Because then you have one person who's responsible to you as a tenant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just easier to do it that way. And I know this is after the fact now, and it may not, you know, the house is sold. But somebody else owns it, and they're going to deal with the occupancy situation in some manner.
You did not live in the house?
I actually did live in the house.
Oh.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. But, you know, it was apparently that didn't help much.
Jessica's got a comment here. Not
with renting out the rooms individually. If a landlord lives in the same unit as the tenant and only rents to one tenant, then state law allows them to evict around the just causes, and the rent ordinance provides an exception for that. But when the landlord is, whether they live there or not, if they're renting out multiple rooms, it takes it out of that exception, and the just causes apply.
I just have to tell you, everybody, we're getting very close to the end of the program, and those of you who are waiting to talk to my guests on the air, we're just not going to be able to talk to you. I'm sorry. We are running out of time. So if you would, be patient and see if you can talk with Nathaniel Bigger. He's in our conference room here. That number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Rich, I'm sorry we don't have a really good answer for you. I think some of these things require that people anticipate what may well be a difficult problem. And try, if you are the owner of a real property and you're going to be a landlord, get some legal advice ahead of time so that you actually know what in the world you are doing, frankly, before you do it. That's terribly important so that you can avoid having problems like that, because problems come so quickly to us that you don't want to turn your back on them. Uh-huh. So good luck to you, and I wish you all a very good 2016. I want to thank both of you very much for being on the program. Great to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you,
Jessica
Chuck.
Chylik and Salvatore Timpano, landlord-tenant attorneys, with both having separate offices in San Francisco. Great to have you on the program. By the way, next week, everybody, we're going to do a family law program focusing on custody and visitation issues, obviously involving a divorce of parents. My guests will be family law attorneys Nancy Ligondiita and Gloria Garcia Sepulveda. Nancy is a former president of the San Mateo County Bar Association. Flora is a specialist in family law certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization. Our great people who work with me on this program, announcer operator, is Joanne Marr. Joanne, nice to have you back. And Martin McLean, who is the assistant producer. Funding for this program has been made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program is provided by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Thanks very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio. I wish you a very good 2016, and I hope you continue to listen to us on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.